It is Thursday, the 8th of August, and this is episode 177 of Digital Outbox. I really got to stop saying Digital Outbox in a questioning manner. It really doesn't work. Never mind. Hello, I'm Chris. Ian's here. Hello, Ian.
Hello, I'm Ian. Yeah, every week's a question.
Every week is a question. I guess it is. And we're here to answer them. Oh, God. Cheese. Should we go to the news?
Well, I was just thinking, I always wondered why you were called Cheesy.
There we go.
And I think it was just opening this episode has just encapsulated everything.
Perfect encapsulation. Yes. There you go. Moto X. Let's go with some news. Moto X, which is Google's, it's actually Motorola's new phone project, this is the first one Google's had a big influence in. So Google obviously bought Motorola a little while back, 18 months ago, something like that. And this is the first product Motorola come up with, which is effectively stock Android, but in a really nice device. And they've taken quite an interesting stance on this, which is they've kind of gone middle of the road, right?
Yeah, specs-wise, it's all... I guess if you did a spec comparison, you would say it's definitely middle of the road. But certainly from reviews and people that have used it, they're saying it's one of the better phones that are out there.
And because it's just dead simple. It's got a brilliant screen. Although it's sort of low. It's not high resolution. It's 720p, which is perfectly acceptable. 4.7 inches, so not the ginormous ones going on. So it's all kind of. Where we're discovering the sweet spot of phones is really. You can choose 16, 32 gig, and I've come up with a ton of customizable options. They can build these phones in 5 days to order, and you can have there's multiple colors you can have on the back, and also accent colors and different colored fronts, so that you can make these things customized to yourself.
There's 504 versions of this.
There you go.
So all the different backplates, etc. is just crazy.
And it's brilliant. They've moved all their production into one building so they can put these things together and they can ship them out to order, which is, again, another step really. It's good. And say for the reviews are saying, it's hard to say that they've definitely nailed it, because will people really want to be behind the curve on the technology front? But the fact that they've got nearly stock Android means at least they'll be up to date with that. And the phone is cheap.
Is it cheap? That's the bit I wasn't sure about, because I had some people saying it's the same price as maybe some of the higher end ones.
Right.
And okay. By the time you factor in contacts, etc. But it's definitely spec-wise a middle-range phone. But I think there's two things we're kind of missing. So although we have said they're kind of specs kind of mid-range, I mean, they're kind of not... Some of the CPUs in it are quite small, but they've got lots of them. It's kind of dedicated to do different things. So there's like one just listens and one's just for this and one's just for that. So they've kind of spread the load. Battery life is excellent. So there's people...
24 hours.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. That's
absolutely
awesome.
Yep.
So we've been calling the fact that ages, right?
Yep. So a battery life that can get you well into the next working day. It's not, and real world tests have proven that as well. The screen, which people are saying, it's an AMOLED and it's this and that, it's only 720p. 720p in that size is fine. And they've
configured it so that they can light up just specific parts of it. So they've even gone down to that depth, so they're not wasting pixels and energy on, stuff that doesn't need to be there.
So, and the one that, I guess the thing that I'm maybe hinted at is that this phone listens all the time. So I think you say, is it, Okay, Google now. Yeah. So, and you train it. So in amongst a conversation, seemingly once you've trained it, we can be talking away. And if I say, okay, Google now, even though the phone's on the other side of the room or it's in my pocket, it will switch on and activate. I saw a podcast last week where the guy had trained it and it was getting picked up by lots of other people. And it was constantly kind of pinging up. So whether he had just trained it badly, because other people, it seemed to work really well.
Yeah, it probably, if you've got a bit of a generic voice, I'm sure it starts, only hears what that. But nevertheless, they have said that they've addressed privacy concerns on that by, it doesn't talk back to Google until you're actually in Google Now. So when you do an OK Google Now, it's only locally working. So it doesn't send any data anywhere. So it doesn't process it. But you can do things like get it to start directions. You can get it to search phone, get it playing songs, things like that. So sounds good.
I actually really wanted to try it. And yeah. Disappointingly, it's not coming to the UK.
No. So, but they have said that they're going to bring other devices along the same kind of lines. The family's going to be here at some point. And recently, we've had a really good run of having things over come over to the UK quite early, if not first, before the US. So this kind of, I guess, you know, tit for tat, this, we have to lose out somewhere. But this is, it's such a colourful range of phones that, you know, it's one phone, obviously, but it's just such a colourful thing. I can't see it being anything but successful. I think they're right with this, the angle.
I want to agree with you.
Other people aren't stat whores like we are.
I want to agree with you, and I'm just not sure. I actually think see all the customization stuff is actually something that will actually be a good selling point.
For some people, it'll be vital.
Yep, the fact that you can go and make it your own, and also I think get a, you know, signature engraved on it. You know, you can actually get you can go to that level. I think for some people they'll think that's fantastic. I guess we'll know in a couple of months. These things, yeah. if it's not a hit on week one, it's dead. It just seems to be that's the way of these things now. It's like
I agree and disagree. I think you're right in most ways, respects. We tend to call it pretty early, but that doesn't always reflect in the sales.
No, but I'm thinking of things like, you know, do you think that Facebook phone? It got lots of good press. Lots of people saying it was a good phone, and it sold nothing, and it just disappeared. And I'm not saying I think most devices tend to be much the same, you know, unless it gets a really strong start and has a really good, and it's the same even, see if you look at apps nowadays, see unless you get an app's really popular straight away.
Yeah, it gets quashed by the, yeah.
Just it's such a competitive market now that it's, and it's the same with phones. Phones is such a, especially on the Android side, is such a choice.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, Motorola have cut down their range by doing this phone and sort of putting their eggs in this basket. They've cut down the number of devices they have, so they're kind of focusing all behind this one, which is good, I think. Anyway, we're going to get Find My iPhone for Android. Effectively, Google's have announced that they're you can have a lost phone tracker. So pretty much any Android device that's out there will be able to log in and see where their phone is on a map. You'll be able to remotely wipe it, also make it ring, you know, so you can see if you lose it, you can see where you can find it. And they're basically, it's not going to need a download onto your phone. So you're not going to need to run an app. This will just work with your device. And seeing as 98.7% of Androids are above the device need, the Android level needed to get this, most people will have it.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised it wasn't. I actually kind of had in the back of my head this was already there. But
there's probably apps to do it.
I think that's the thing. Anyway, but it's good, to see
so an official service up and running, as long as it's not officially allowing everyone just to wipe someone else's phone for fun. Yeah. Now on to 4G. So we've got some movement at last. It's obviously been all the auctions and stuff have happened now. And basically O2 and Vodafone have both announced that they are going to be launching on 29th of August. O2, London, Leeds and Bradford, and Vodafone are starting with London and then following on with most of the other major cities shortly after. This is kind of the first, I guess, chance that these guys have had, because they weren't wanting to use their existing network as EE did. They've moved pretty quick on this, really.
Yeah, and as you said, it seems to be, you know, London obviously is the first one for both. And I think they're talking about it's the kind of 10 big ones by the end of the year for both networks as well. So fairly aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, and they're releasing tariffs as well at the same time. So Vodafone's doing a couple of red tariffs, they're calling them, which are still so poxy on the data. It's just unbelievable. So we're talking two and four gig.
This is really weird. This was like kind of got me going. Oh, so O2 have said prices start at 26 quid a month. I'm not going to tell you any more than that.
Yeah.
So they didn't talk about when you're...
Cards to chest.
Yeah. Vodafone actually had a lot more detail. So they talked about pricing, as you're saying, it's 2 and 4 gig. The one that kind of stood out was it was a SIM only ones, and for the first 3 months it's unlimited data wise.
Yeah, and they're going to let you use your data as you normally would, and then they're going to give you 2, 4, or 8 gigabytes per month depending on how you use it. It doesn't say whether they're going to charge differently.
I'm assuming they must be.
I guess they're going to come away and say, look, you've used 8 gig every month, you must be on this tariff.
And some of the tariffs are still quite, I mean, they are kind of like eye-popping. Just price wise,
it goes like, data. Oh. Data seems to just ramp them up amazingly. I guess that's, you know.
And I think it's
that's to be expected.
Yeah, it's what people are looking for, and that's obviously what they're charging, because they can almost offer unlimited, you know, voice and text, and I don't think it matters anymore.
It doesn't seem to, does it? Yeah. So they don't care about that anymore, because people aren't using their phones for that anymore.
No, and I mean Vodafone have also thrown in Spotify subscriptions and Sky Sports subscriptions. I think it's just for the first 6 months.
Oh, okay. Try and get you sucked in. So you're going to be using far in excess of your 2 gig then?
Absolutely. I mean, if you want to make best use of Spotify. Yeah. Say goodbye to that data. And that's the problem Shaq's got. Shaq ran out. I think it was this month. He ran out a week and a half into his month.
It must be so frustrating.
And that was 3 gig. And it was then, was it £10 for another 500 meg?
Ooh, ouch.
And you're just like, and he was like,
that gets expensive real quick.
Either that or you just can't use your phone. That's the choice. It's like, and he's already saying, he's like, he just can't afford to keep going like this, and he's really waiting for 3, but 3 where we work right now sucks. So it'll be interesting to see what 3 announce. They're the kind of last ones that haven't said anything.
Yeah, and that's not surprising. They are the smallest of the bunch that did, and they've also got the lowest spectrum, as in they've got the kind of cheap end of the spectrum, which does mean that 3's unlikely. You know, they might be able to offer more of it, but they. It's going to be hard for them to offer this indoor coverage, which everyone talks about. Vodafone are saying they're going to get 98% indoor coverage by the end of 2015, because they specifically went and bought the radio length that actually penetrates walls and things quite well.
Yes.
I don't think 3 is going to be able to compete with that, but they will be able to compete on, you know, pilot high, stack 'em cheap.
And that'll be the, because I mean, they're the only ones that came out and said same deal, same price, and you get 4G. And everybody was like,
not ready to go yet.
Ooh.
Yep. BT and Vodafone, keeping on Vodafone, they've the Snowden whistleblowing on all this GCHQ stuff and spying and international spy networks and stuff is still breaking, still getting chugged out. And turns out that BT and Vodafone effectively allow GCHQ to hook into their undersea, you know, fiber networks. That pretty much gives them raw access into storing the internet as it is being used across the channel and stuff. It's these things keep coming out, and I wonder whether they're deliberately sort of dripping them out, or whether they're just finding out, you know, testing with their lawyers whether they're allowed to say these things and stuff. But basically, it just does sound like GCHQ can listen and do whatever they want.
Pretty much. And I'm with you. I don't know if it's, nobody knows whether it's legally they're wanting to drip feed it out, or whether it's from a let's sell papers and keep the story, you know, high in everybody's head, because I'm sure they could have taken everything in like a couple of days and just splashed it all out there and it would have died. But this constant drip feeding of there's more.
Well, maybe they're just finding out more and more and more.
That might be the case. It's still, the thing that's still a bit confusing, I guess, for Joe Public is that a lot of these companies did deny a lot of these things, and they're still denying a lot of these things, and
Denying these things is because they're not allowed to admit to them.
Exactly. And that's
They get these court orders and these warrants from, you know, and they get told what that involves, which involves them not saying that they've had them.
And there were 7 companies in total. It's just the other ones are maybe not as well known. You know, so I guess, BT and Vodafone are well known.
There's plenty of other people. And you know, these are the ones that we know about. You can pretty much be sure that it's going to involve everyone, surely. I mean, what makes me uncomfortable is, I think we said it before, is the fact that we take down whole countries and dictatorships based on the fact that they spy on their, you know, their citizens and all that, and really it's all exactly the same.
It really is. I don't feel any different when I use the internet now. Everything's watched, you know, so
yeah,
hey ho.
Yeah, I just think, you know, China have had such a bad cop over the years about the, you know, spying on their citizens, but you know, everyone's doing it.
And when the filters come in here, I mean, we're going to be as much the same as somewhere like China. You know, we're going to have an internet which is basically being filtered
just
and monitored.
Spun a different way.
Yep.
Just spin it a different way. for the to save the kids. Yeah. 17% of UK homes still don't have internet access. Seems quite a big figure, really. Turns out that some of them is just because they don't want it. Some of them don't think they've got the literacy to actually use it, and you know, some can't afford it.
Yeah. It's 4 million homes. I mean, 17% doesn't, you know, you think, is that all? It's 4 million.
It's the amount of services that are only internet only nowadays, and exactly how much benefit you get from the internet. Yeah.
That's the bit that got me when they said it was like 60% of those unconnected saying that they do not need to be online. And I guess if you're not online, you maybe don't realise what you're missing out on.
I was going to say, sometimes it takes people a little while to cook onto what they can get, doesn't it?
Certainly. I mean, I notice it with my mother. She'll constantly say, what about the people that can't get online? What about the people that don't have like a geek in the family? And there's definitely a certain age group, but it's like, it's just all a bit baffling.
No, it took ages for my parents to even bother with the internet. And I can't remember what, I think it was dad finding out he could buy old books easier on the internet. He's like, oh, wow, I can find all these things that I've been searching for years. Yeah, it's just fantastic. One little hook in, and then suddenly you find all the other uses, don't you?
Absolutely. And I mean, I guess that the folk that I work with, a whole lot of different skill levels, but some of the guys that are on the shop floor, you know, never used a computer. And there was one chap recently, and he was like, I've got no need to use a computer. You know, when I want to go fishing, my daughter looks up the times for me. I've got no other. And we were wanting them to use, you know, some technology we'd brought in. And I says, look, if I can sit with you, get you up and running, you'll be able to do this yourself. And he's like, really? And after a couple of days, he was really comfortable with it because he was really skilled at the job he was doing. It's just that computers had kind of bypassed him. So it was always this big, scary box. Don't understand. And now the guy was like, yeah, I'll go and look up my fishing tanks.
Oh, it's a magical box.
Here is the internet.
So we've had some...
Speaking of the internet.
Yeah, the tops and the highs and the lows of the internet. So,
yeah.
Father of a girl called Hannah Smith. So she killed herself, basically. She committed suicide, and it turned out that there had been a lot of cyberbullying going on a network called Ask.fm, Ask.fm, sorry. And effectively, this website is a place where anonymous users can log in and ask questions. And, of course, kids being kids and whatever, they're using it for things like, oh, do you think such and such is attractive? Do you think this? Do you think that? You know. And of course, if you're the subject of those questions, it's really hard to avoid them if you're on the network, and you kind of get drawn toward reading all this thing. And it just got so heavy that this girl decided it was too much. But the dad's asked for this network to be shut down. I haven't heard whether there's been any movement of, you know, what Ask.fm or Ask.fm are going to do about it.
No, they said that they take these things seriously, and they do lots to, you know, protect people, but at the same time, they wouldn't be removing the bit I think that was most controversial is the anonymity behind it. You know,
yeah, so anyone can log in and do anything. Yeah,
me and you can go on and jump on and be anybody, and it's all anonymous and it's untraceable, and that obviously gives, you know, there's where. The technology is an enabler. It's not, you know, obviously the website didn't cause the crime. It was the people that, you know, typed things in, etc. But by making it anonymous, they're making it easy.
But we keep talking every week about the fact that, you know, the internet should be allowed to be anonymous, okay, you know, sometimes. So.
Yes, but then...
Yeah, where's the balance?
It's difficult. And I guess the only update on this story is a number of advertisers have withdrawn their support now of Ask.fm just because of the amount of, you know, there is a bit of a smell around about it now. Because it was one, certainly for me, it's not a site that I've ever been on, to be honest, and it hardly ever crops up in, you know, and certainly the stuff that I read about or talk around. I think for we have a couple of year in industry students that working with us just now, and I think for them, it's fairly popular.
It seems like it's almost been an idea that's been taken over by, you know, these bullies or whatever, because it was a way to ask any question you want and try and get an answer to it. So, but it does seem like people are using it, you know, maybe they're not allowed on Facebook for whatever reason. Maybe their school networks have blocked all these other social networks, so they've ended up on this one. It could be all manner of different reasons why they end up there. But nevertheless, they are there, and that's how it's being used. I don't think it's Ask FM's particular fault, but you've got to be seen to at least respond to something like this, really, I guess.
And this is just one of these difficult things. You know, if it wasn't that website, it would be something else. I mean, there's nothing to stop people creating, you know, phony Facebook accounts. You know,
and doing
other things. You know, so it's, if it wasn't that, it'd be somebody in Twitter. I guess the bit I feel uncomfortable about is it seems to be everybody's calling it trolling, and some of this stuff isn't trolling.
No, trolling's looking for a response, right? And but the stuff we're going to come on and talk about now, and that, you know, online bullying is not trolling. It's far worse than that.
I feel some people in it, and some of it is probably the kind of, you know, the Daily Mail type headlines, you know, Twitter trolls, that, you know, gets his comeuppance or gets arrested, and it's like, but they're not, that's not a troll.
Yeah, that's just their latest word that they hooked onto.
So I there's no easy answer for this one.
No.
And but I don't think filtering is the option either, because I think most of the kids are smart enough to get around that. I think that's my issue with the whole filtering aspect. Anyway.
Keeping on the downer. So Stella Creasy, we talked about her a couple of weeks back, if not last week, where she had shouted out to the people, the women who had, you know, had been abused on Twitter, and then she was subject to the same kind of abuse, and she tweeted out one of the, you know, she got sent a picture of a masked man holding a knife with a message,
it?
I'm going to be the first. No, I haven't seen it. I'm going to be the first thing you see when you wake up. And, you know, it's what, I mean, that's a sick mind, isn't it, really?
And the thing is, like, we're probably as guilty of it. We can say it's like kids. It's a 32-year-old guy. So the good thing is, and she's, there seems to be a bit of a kind of change in how people are dealing with this. Let's not block it. Let's retweet them. Let's show friends, family, people that might know them, this is what these folk are doing. You know, expose them and report them to the police. So she retweeted it. She was taking screenshots of it. She reported them to the police. Twitter very quickly, because obviously they are, you know, they're trying to be very proactive on this, and we'll come on to that in the next story. They blocked him very quickly, but the next day he was actually arrested, and it's a 32-year-old from the Bristol area.
Yeah.
So not a...
It's not a kid.
No. And I don't even, if you saw it, it's like, how could you even think this is in any way funny? You know, it's just not.
Well, exactly, it's just not. But I mean, yeah. I mean, I think in some ways she almost seemed to step in to try and get the attention onto her so that she could then go and move these things on, whether that is the noble effect she wanted, or whether this has gone further than she ever imagined. I imagine it has.
I don't know if she did. Part of me feels she kind of stepped in because it was like there was one person seemed to be getting like the flack of a fairly large group, and her and a few others seemed to step in and say, hold on, this isn't on, and we need to do more about it. And it kind of, to me, it spun from that. And I think because she was a big obvious target, you know, I think these guys thought, yeah, we'll just now start abusing you. I mean, there's a few women last week who didn't really count. I think that, I mean, there was a bomb threat made to a few of them as well.
It's such an easy thing to write, and then it's, how do you deal with it? It's like it's terrorism, effectively. That's, you know, that is the bit of terrorism. You know,
you do realise we've turned into middle aged like Daily Mail readers in the space of two stories.
No, never mind. Twitter has come out and said what they're going to do. What, you know, how they're going to start dealing with this? Well, the first thing they've done is update some rules. they kind of do say, look, we've updated our rules to make it obvious to people who perhaps it isn't obvious to, although it should be, that this is not acceptable. Now, that's going to make, you know, absolute nothing. No difference.
I could, because nobody reads.
Anyway, there's new rules. What, great. But they have got an in-tweet report button. So now against tweets, you can report them as abusive, and other people can click on them and report them as abusive as well. So crowdsourcing out the abuse level. And basically in the web browser, they've done this for iOS and also on the web access, but they will be updating Android soon as well.
The bit I don't understand, when I go on the web, I don't see it.
Well, there you go. So they're lying.
I don't.
It's all just down to rules.
So I can see, like, so I've just picked a, let me just go and pick another tweet just in case. So there's if I expand that, I can reply, retweet, favorite, and under more, I've got share via email or embed.
I wonder whether it's just the mobile web. It does say on the mobile web, so maybe you have to be on a mobile browser to do it.
Or is it under the profile page? Okay. So under the profile, I can block or report. Okay. The block and report was always there.
Maybe it's just the mobile web rather than old web.
Maybe it is.
Why it can't be the big old web as well, I don't know. Anyway, so they're also working with the UK Safer Internet Centre to try and work out how they can move this on. And they've said that we'll keep working on this problem.
Yes, but the way they said it was very Starship Troopers. So we'll keep working to make your world safer. And it just as soon as I saw that we'll keep working, I just had the Starship Troopers kind of infomercial government Big Brother nonsense kind of looking down. It made me chuckle. We'll keep working, citizen.
Yeah, let's keep with Twitter for a couple more stories of Rich on, and let's move on a bit. Our Home Office has been tweeting arrests of illegal immigrants. Hooray! Does this make you feel safe and sound, or does it just make you feel really sick to your stomach from the fact that these people have been arrested and now they're being tweeted out for, innocent until proven guilty and all that?
Hashtag immigration offenders with photos and a running count of how many they arrested that day. And as you said,
tough on immigration.
Yeah, it just was a bit, again, Starship Trooper-esque.
Yeah. And as you kind of said here, are we going to get an update on all the people that were released again for accidental tweet, accidental arrest or whatever, or arrest without cause and stuff like that?
They don't care.
Of course they don't.
They don't care. But what a job. Can you imagine that you had to come in and that was your job that day?
Tweet this. Someone else been ordered to pay £40,000 for calling a gay rights campaigner a paedophile. He kept on spouting nonsense and horror, hate, and kept saying danger to children, and kept saying the person was child abuser and stuff.
Yeah. So again, this was in the fantastic Daily Record, a Glasgow paper, Scottish paper, and it's £40,000, so it's a lot of money. But this guy
didn't even turn up in court.
No, but this guy basically launched a campaign against a government advisor who is a gay herself, and he saw her as the fact that she was in education was an absolute disgrace. So he went on a bit of a campaign, and he's now trying to spin it and say no, it was her that had the campaign against him. But if you look at the evidence that was presented, certainly in the media, it was like, this is the guy's off his trolley.
Yeah, and like I said, he didn't even defend himself in court, and so he's ended up with a massive fine and costs.
Because some of the stuff he was tweeting was basically, it was unproven, and then he was like, he'd put like hashtag child abuser next to some of her name, and say, this is what she's done, hashtag child abuser. And then she was starting to tweet some of the people in government that could be potentially employing her. And that's when she said, right, enough's enough, I need to do something about this, because he's now almost portraying to other people, by the way, you can't employ her because she's a child abuser or a sex abuser or whatever. So it's like, it's not getting much choice. So they went to court, he didn't defend himself, and he's been told hand over £40,000. But seemingly,
and plus costs.
Plus costs. If you read the full article, it says, no. And my defence is almost there, and I'll be going back to court. So maybe we've not heard the last of it, but it's...
How can... If it's been set... You can't... you can appeal, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
You didn't defend. How can you appeal? Anyway, whatever. Yeah. Doesn't really matter. You are responsible for what you say online. Keep saying it. There we go. More proof.
I'd love to say that that's the last time we'll have these kind of stories. Yeah,
it's not going to be. Nah, definitely not. At some point, we will probably just stop and say them. Obama has overturned the ban on iPhones and iPads. If you remember a little while back, it was probably a long while back, a couple of US courts did hold that Samsung had a patent that iPhone 4 and iPad 2 infringed. So where Apple had got Samsung banned in America, it turned out that Samsung got Apple banned as well. But the Obama administration has said, no, we can't have that, and overturned it. Cheeky.
I'm a bit confused.
That's all right, but there you go. That is the long and short of it, though. The government have come in and said, that court, which is independent, I'm overturning that.
Yeah, and also it's an International Trade Commission. But by the way, I don't like that decision, so screw you.
It's gone against... Well, effectively what they're saying is, this is an American company, the most valuable company in the world. We can't have their products banned. Effectively.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Anyway, so but they have said that Samsung can continue to pursue their rights through the courts, which is a bit ironic, seeing as they've just done that and had it overturned.
And it's this whole thing is crazy, because Samsung are saying, like, and we will go back to court, but at the same time, it's kind of leaking out that they're the biggest supplier of screens again for Apple. It's like,
it's weird, isn't it? It's like incestual nonsense.
I don't get it, because the way it's ended up, and I know when Jobs was alive, he says, you know, we've protected all this and we'll make sure we'll protect everything. At the end of the day, they've not stopped anybody copying anything.
No.
You know, it's like every device out there is a version of something else that came out, you know, 6 months
ago.
They're
all getting closer. They're all stealing each other's ideas. I'll say it's not just everyone stealing Apple. Apple now looks very much like an Android with all its notifications and things like that going on. They're just converging.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's all small. It's all small gains now.
You know, yeah, really, really tiny. I mean, because they've kind of, we talked about the Moto X earlier. That is kind of the where everything's converging to. Yeah. Chargers, Apple chargers. So one of them electrocuted a Chinese girl or Chinese woman.
Shocking.
Turns out it was a third party one, but Apple have now started a program off where you can go and take in your third party charger and go and get an actual legitimate Apple one for $10.
Yeah. Why don't they just charge $10 and just be done?
Yeah, why don't they just charge? Yeah, exactly. Fair enough.
They make so much money. You know what I mean? And part of me was like, well played. You know, because obviously there's an issue there and they're looking at the PR side of it, and it looks great now as well. And they've also said that, you know, we'll dispose of all these kind of rubbish chargers that, you know, in a friendly way. I mean, I'll be honest, I bought a charger for 99p from eBay, and that's because the official one was £18.
Yeah.
And I saw a number of other people, including a couple of guys for schools, that were saying, well, if I buy 10 chargers, I'm up at £180.
Same with all their cables. 180. The official HDMI cable, the official this cable, the official cap. It's just ridiculous amounts of money. Like their Thunderbolt cables, were they £30, something like that? It's just, some of them are just ridiculously expensive.
The new Xbox One will have a 4K HDMI ready cable when it comes,
included in the box.
And a USB 3 super speed port, because obviously saying USB 3 wasn't enough, Cox. But I did notice it's going to have a headset, which I was quite pleased with. You know, it's a total digression. See, for all the stuff that Microsoft put out and everybody slagged them off, they've changed. Wouldn't it have been great if they said, by the way, headsets in the box, and no bad press whatsoever?
I still haven't ordered mine yet.
Mine's is ordered. I still kind of feel a bit foolish about the whole thing. I should just man up and not bother, but I kind of want to play one.
Yeah, so do I. So I think I'll end up doing it, but I don't have any money at the moment, so there we go. Sob, sob, sob.
almost like a plea. Will we start?
Yeah, it was almost, wasn't it?
Will we get a Kickstarter?
It would be a shame if that came out as a plea.
I think we should have a Kickstarter for you. Right, a digital outbox / Chris Hutchison reviewing it.
Amazon, they've launched digital downloads. So you can now download some games and software, basically.
Great.
Don't need the box anymore. Modern.
3 years ago, they launched it in America. 4 years ago, 2009.
Wow. And it's taken a while.
It's taken slightly longer than probably.
And we've got a limited range of games, some free to play as well. But say it also includes all your normal software kind of titles, you know, your offices and your Photoshops and all that. So you can get them straight away. And I say straight away, depends on your speed of broadband.
Straight away. And Axis is a bit of a locker. So it stores all your serial numbers and all that good stuff.
Yeah, which is good. And you know they're doing this auto rip thing now, which I don't think we covered.
Susan Boyle. Susan, remember I had all my Susan Boyle and Cliff Richard collection.
Barbara Streisand. If you buy a CD, you can get the MP3. So yeah, they're obviously, their server farms are obviously ramping up, and I guess they need them all anyway for their tablets and their fires and stuff. So it's all good. Feedly Pro. So Feedly have announced another level on top of your free account. So it's Pro, gets you in feed searching. And they were offering a limited number of $99 lifetime Pro subscriptions, but they've all run out. And basically, it's going to cost you $5 a month. to have this level, which obviously it's pissed off everyone that wanted one of the $99 lifetime and can't get hold of them. So they're now, you know, whether they're stuffed and they have to get this $5 a month.
What they've said is that it was far more popular because they had 5,000 of these things and lots of people jumped straight away and said, Feedly, that's rubbish. And you're like, hold on, it's a free tool that you don't pay for. They've done lots of work this year with Google Reader, you know, shutting down. So they've had to scale up rapidly. Yeah. They've put an API in place. They're supporting loads of these third-party apps.
Yeah, none of this is easy and straightforward. Yeah.
No. And I guess that the bit that people are frustrated at is search isn't free. Search was free in Google Reader and it's not free now. And it's like, well, stump up some money. That's a big problem with... We talked about it with Old Reader last week. That you know, they're kind of made it a private version. Although 12 hours after we did the podcast, they said actually it's been rescued, but we can't tell you how.
Right.
So seemingly they're going to do some sort of spin-off where another technology company is going to take the code base and all that nonsense. Yeah. But it was just like whatever. And so so Feedly did this fight the 5,000 lifetime pro, but the whole point was I think they thought it would be a fairly slow burner that over maybe 2-3 weeks people would buy this. It sold out within 3 hours.
And let's be clear, they don't want people having lifetime memberships. That's not going to support them. That's not going to support a business model. No. You need a subscription model, which is the $5 a month.
So what they've said is that they'll announce in September, they will announce some more pro user accounts. So it won't be like everybody can just buy one. There'll be a certain batch again made available. Because a lot of, like, when they announced this, it was mostly Americans that got this due to when they announced it and the blog post went up. Yeah. But really, they wanted the 5,000 to fund more equipment, and that's what this is doing. So it's giving them a cash injection that's guaranteeing they can get some more hardware and then in turn offer more pro accounts. But also they're saying we actually need people to stump up and actually continually pay, or else we can't keep going. And that's the first sign that they need to have a viable business. You can't just do all this stuff for nothing.
If someone can do it for free and search is that important, then people will move. So there we go.
Yeah, and as I said before, the one I'm at, I need to pay for it to have search.
Chrome turns out you can just, if you've got access to someone's computer and they're sort of logged into their network, you know, their computer, you can just look at all their passwords that they've stored for their websites, which I checked out, and yes, you can. So it's a pretty easy thing to go into the back end and have a look at the plain text of exactly what you've used on every website that you've been to, which obviously then if you've got a system or whatever, it becomes obvious very straight away they'd probably get access to any password you want. And Google have kind of come out and said, yeah, you can do that, and we're not changing it because we feel like adding a master password is just, you know, somehow, you know, it's making it seem secure when it's really not.
Mental. What all the guff.
Yeah, it does
this,
sound
this,
like
this really hacked me off, actually, because I couldn't believe it at first, and I did the same as you, followed the steps, and I was like, oh, this is my password.
Yeah, just there, like, it is.
Hello.
And it's like there's no protection there. So if someone's at your house and they just want to go on your computer, they can see all your passwords.
So other browsers have had this before. So Firefox was the same. So they added in this master password idea. You know, so putting a master password because it kind of keeps everything.
Because you can use that password then to encrypt it also. It doesn't have to be sat on your hard disk as plain.
I mean, and on the Mac, you've got keychains, or you can go and use 1Password you know, that works in a kind of same way. So I find it really bizarre that they've turned around and said, well, by adding this master password, it means everybody's really relaxed. And it's like, no, it's just...
It doesn't, you know, it just means that someone can't look at my computer and get my passwords. Thanks very much.
Yeah, I just thought the answer was bogus. And I'm sure in 2-3 months we'll see an update.
It won't be long. They send out so many updates that it can't be long.
I just don't get it. And I don't get technically why it wouldn't be a trivial change for them to do either.
No, I would say I don't expect, when I sign up for an account, I don't expect an email back telling me what my password was. And I certainly don't expect it all just stored in my browser when I click, you know,
unless you've got a Virgin Media password, because they store all their passwords in plain text. But don't worry, all their support staff have been through some security accreditation.
They'd never look at them. It's fine. We've got Google Play Music All Access, so it's taken a little while, but not as long as it has taken in the past. But basically for $7.99 a month, we can have what is effectively a streaming service for all our music and from Google.
Very much. So you sign up before September 15th, so I guess what's that, 5 weeks? You get it for $7.99. After that, it'll be $9.99.
Yeah, but it's £7.99 and euros, so you're getting a bit of a better deal in Europe.
Yeah, I don't keep up with currency.
It's still not one-to-one, is it? So
I've no idea.
No, about 70p, I think. Anyway, maybe 80p. So yeah, there you go. So it is over here. So if you want to go down that service route, I mean, again, why you'd want to go down there rather than Spotify, which you can get for like £5 a month. So seems interesting they haven't positioned themselves at the same point. Mind you, actually, the Anywhere subscription is different on Spotify, isn't it? It's £10.
I was going to say, so if you want, and I think they've probably said, well, Spotify are saying you can see it, listen anywhere, it's £10. They're just
saying you can only listen anywhere. We're not offering a restriction one. Okay, fair enough. That does sound all right. I haven't got a pick. Have you got a pick?
No, because scarily, it's only 40 minutes. I was going to say we're about an hour in. But no, I have no. I've actually got a couple of games that I should. There's one I need to recommend. I'll do a pick. It's okay. An app. It's a game for iOS, and it's called Pivot. PIVOT.
Gives me the fear of Excel tables.
It gives me a feel of a startup gone wrong.
Who spelled it like that?
Yeah. Exactly. So Pivot, really nice, simple game. You've just got to guide your little sphere and make sure it doesn't hit something else. You're on a path and all you control is going in a clockwise or anti-clockwise direction. If you remember things like Super Hexagon and those type of games, it's kind of similar to that, but not quite as twitchy. Nice music in the background, a few excellent modes, and it's very addictive.
There you go. Pivot, PIVOT.
And I think it was 69 of your good pence.
Expensive stuff.
Yes.
I think that's it for our podcast, right?
Woohoo!
Yeah, that sounds like me.
Speaking of you, because I'm not going to let you talk about your website and all that. Feck me, you won last weekend.
Oh, yes.
Get in.
Yeah, get in, exactly that. Yes, it was very exciting, as I did go over the line in a kind of embarrassing... clenched excitement that still hasn't let go. I'm still knackered. We're four or five days afterwards now, and I'm still exhausted.
I wish I could see the face, because now that I listen back to the video without the commentary, it's almost like the first was a bit of a Hulk smash, and then there's like a woohoo, a little Mario woohoo.
It took me precisely two corners to lose my voice entirely. I sounded hoarse for the rest of the weekend. But yeah, I was extremely happy to win that race. Tell you that. Such a relief.
So I think if you're listening to this, head to academyracer.co.uk, watch the videos.
Absolutely, yeah. Go enjoy the race.
Yeah. And I'm going to buy you a box.
Box?
Yeah, I'm going to buy you a box. So it looks like you're in first place, not third, when you stand on the podium.
It is a little bit embarrassing that I was stood on the top. In fact, they were all stood on the top step, but it's fine enough. It was an inverted V shape. Little old me. Weighed down by a reef.
you really are the Richard Hammond of Caterham Academy, or whatever it's called. I always get it wrong. And I'm gutted you're not going to be on TV this weekend.
Yeah, they didn't have TV cameras there, so unfortunately not going to be able to see that. So YouTube is your only option there. Go to academyracer.co.uk and find it there.
Or maybe watch Digital Lightbox, because I might throw the videos up in there as well.
Okay, you can do that.
Oh, yeah,
I'll allow thanks. You the rights.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Oh, yes, very happy. Next one's in 3 weekends' time after this weekend, so that's a little way off yet.
So where's the next one?
Rockingham. I think all on a Saturday this time, so it means have a cool down day. Anyway, want to find out more about Digital Outbox? You can do www.digitaloutbox.com, email us info@digitaloutbox.com, and you can Twitter and Skype us if you wish at Digital Outbox. I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK, as we already heard. My blog is academyracer.co.uk. Ian, where can we find you?
My blog is iand.net. I'm on Twitter as Shweepa.
Perfecto. We will speak at you next week. See you then. Bye.
Goodbye. There's a loud box.
Questioning the technology world.
That would have been a far better podcast name. Just question.
Quite good.
Question.
I doubt the domain's available.
Question.
Ask.fn might be available soon. Is that wrong?